Great. Good morning, everybody, and thanks for being here. Got a few disclaimers to start out with. I'm not a trained professional teacher. I like to think of myself as a teacher, but I'm a forest soil scientist. I actually work for the Canadian Forest Service. That's the federal forestry department in Ontario, Canada. When I was putting together this talk, I was kind of thinking of two things. One was I going to give a pep talk for Envirothon? Or a good advertisement for Envirothon? Or then I thought, well, is it really that I'm giving a pep talk to other soil scientists about the opportunity with working with Envirothon? Has anybody heard of Envirothon, first of all? That's why you're all here. Lots of people working with Envirothon? Okay, any Envirothon graduates? Not yet. Okay, so I'm kind of preaching to the choir a little bit here, but I'll go through this anyways, and maybe we can share experiences afterwards. A brief outline, it kind of builds a bit on what Randall was talking about in terms of high school outdoor education. I guess at a younger age, trying to bring students into the idea about working with soils and soil science. I'm going to cover a bit about why Envirothon and what the goals of partnering for me have been. Some of the messages to impart, some of the approaches and methods and resources like Soil for Youth that Maya's developed, and some results in generating momentum through Envirothon. There's been discussion already in the presentation, sort of this versus this type idea, and I guess the way I like to think of it is that obviously our students being wired is creating great tools for sure, even working with soil. Web soil survey is an example. To be able to go out on site and pull up what's the particular soil right on site is awesome. But I think we're at the point now where I think a lot of organizations are sort of realizing this tipping point. Maybe we're a bit out of balance. That's probably why all you folks are here, that we need a little bit more of the hands-on and the outdoor. Where I'm from in Ontario, it's actually been reflected a bit already at the high school level, and that the provincial government, the Ministry of Education in our case, is now providing funds for high schools to actually do outdoor education. So 5 years ago, teachers that would really be hampered to go into the field and do things are now getting extra funds for buses and so on to take their students out. So there's some thinking going on at the other level. You know, it's great to have an iPad for every student and so on, but we've got to get back to some of this work outside. So what a great opportunity for soils. Again, those of you that are involved in Envirothon, and I didn't know this in details until I started looking for this presentation, but it has a long history, about a 35-year-old history dating back to an environmental Olympics developed in Pennsylvania, to the first Envirothon in 1988, the first Canadian team from Nova Scotia competing in 1992, and then Canon taking on the title sponsorship and becoming the North American Envirothon. Again, I'm not sure if there's any teams from Mexico in that yet, but I know there is some outreach into other countries as well. And again, as you might know, the National Conservation Association is the non-profit organization that coordinates the delivery of the program. So my first, I've been with Envirothon as a resource person for now 20 years, so since about 1995, so not long after the first Canadian team was involved. So from our point of view as soil scientists, why Envirothon? And again, I realize I'm preaching to the choir, so we'll just go through it though. I mean, it gets students at a young age, at a high school age, at an age where they're making decisions about where their careers are going to head. Are they going to go into science? And it gives them that firsthand, hands-on experience with it. So that's really beneficial. Whoever the geniuses were in 1979 that developed the program, soils is one of the core subject areas that's within it, as well as aquatic ecology, forestry, wildlife, and a chosen environmental issue for that particular year. So again, what a great platform. We don't have to develop that. The people that developed Envirothon thought soils was that important. It has a field testing component to develop critical thinking, problem solving, teamwork, and communication skills. In the region that I work in, Ontario, we have an Envirothon competition, but the organizers of the Envirothon actually have activity days throughout the year. Again, I don't know if that's the case in all the ones that you folks are involved with. So I find there's numerous opportunities to interact with students in the field to go through some of the things I'm going to show in the next few minutes to look at soil properties, soil profiles, working with soil. So it's a real program that's totally built for this idea that we need to be involving students younger to get them interested in soils, to get them interested to train in universities and colleges for soils as well. So why Envirothon? Again, I didn't know all these stats when I was looking for this, putting this presentation together. 500,000 students a year are in Envirothon. Does anybody know that? Like, it's incredible. Yeah, 4,000 high schools, and they claim on the Envirothon website 10 million participants since the inception of the program. Like, that's just amazing. The Ontario Envirothon that I'm involved with, we deliver the program in both English and French, both official languages, and just in some surveys that have done of some of the students that are in that program, 74% of the students said that led them to consider a career in science, and 100% of the students recommend the program to friends. From the 20 years I've been involved in the program, I know specific students that I know were in that program, and I'll run into them years later that have gone into soil science. So it's a proven program in terms of bringing the next generation of soil scientists along. So just some of the, when I go into this, this is my own opinion, you know, what am I partnering this for? It's not part of my job. I've always been excited by being involved in it, but when my boss kind of asked me, what are you doing that for again, I have to give him some really good reasons, right? Do some on my own time and some on work time. But I think the first thing that I do, I'm in a community of about 75,000 people, and when I ask the kids, do you know where this forestry laboratory is? Blank stare. They don't even know, a small town, right? So the first thing I tell them is where I work. What do people do there where you work? And again, that's an immediate connector with students, right? They want to know. So you work there, what do you do there? Okay, and then you get to tell the story a little bit about what you do to try and make this connection that Randall talked about in terms of the personification of the relationship with the students in that way. When I first started doing the program, maybe the first 10 years I was doing it, I didn't think about this stuff as much. But now I think about it more. So I actually think, and I tell the students, you know, the reason I'm out here is because I think you're interested in science. You're an Envirothon, that you must be interested in science. Some hands go halfway up, right? So then I got these two tacks I take. So the first one is I say, well, I want you to know there are careers in soil science. I'm a living example of it. Where I work, we hire students that work in soil science. You can do that. I get the other half that, my friend brought me along today, I didn't really want to be here type idea. I'm really into art. I want to be an artist, or I want to be a football player or whatever. So then I go the other tack with them, and I'll tell them straight up, high school students, you know, they're pretty perceptive. So I say to them, well, you know what, even if you're an artist or a football player, I want you to be able to read the newspaper in 10 years, and when somebody's spouting out something at you, I want you to be a critical thinker about it, especially in the field of soil science. So it's kind of the two goals there, admitting to yourself and to the students that I don't expect you all to become soil scientists eventually, but I want you to understand something about soil science. Some of the messages a personal point of view, soil is important. And again, preaching to the choir here, but really most students aren't used to thinking about soil, okay? The region I work in, I mean, most kids are in the forest. They go out there, but they're fishing, they're hunting. You know, they know about the warm, woolly mammals and that sort of thing, but they never think about the soil. And interestingly enough, when we start to look at the curriculum that's in the high schools, probably the same in the States, but certainly in Canadian provinces, it's pretty limited what's covered in soils. And what I found over the years interacting with a lot of the high school teachers, a lot of them aren't really comfortable with the subject. It's not their area of expertise, so they don't really want to deal with it. So that's something to get across to the students just in terms of the importance of soil. Second of all, soil is fun. It's easy, right? The kids are coming outside for the day. They don't have to be in the classroom. So right away, it's made for that, for sure. Second of all, Has there ever been a student in a soil pit that you've taken out from a high school? Never. In my experience, never. This is the first time. So they all want to get in the soil pit. Who wants to handle the soil knife? No, we better not let Bill handle the soil knife, etc., etc. Have lots of fun with them. And then some of the teaching that can go on, just, again, things that you would cover in an introductory soil science class. That soils are different. They have different properties, and we're going to experience a few of them here today. So the big thing I like to do, does anybody remember Underdog? A few people, okay. You're too young to remember Underdog.
Oh, no.
Are there YouTubes of Underdog somewhere? Okay. So, I mean, this is and kids love this, right? So the first thing you spell out to them is soil is the underdog. And immediately, they're with you all the way, right? They're really excited. So then you go into, okay, provides water, provides forest, provides ecosystems, the connector of all our systems. Hey, have you ever been to the garbage dump? What is the garbage dump? Okay, and again, I have kids from rural areas, so they know you throw the garbage over the edge of the soil, and what's it going to happen there? One of my best experiences is talking about what they ate for breakfast or lunch that day, right? And so that, you know, it's a fun interchange because it always comes back to soil, right? No matter what you do. And we have lots of funny discussions about that, you know, where they try and say, oh, mayonnaise, is there really anything natural in there, you know? So we get those kind of discussions. And one of my best anecdotes, and again, you build on these through the time you're working with the students, was a student that said, muffins come from soil. That was the end. So at the end of the day and teaching them, what did you learn today? Muffins come from soil. I can hang my hat on that. If you're fine with that, I'm fine with that. So some of the approaches, I mean, you got to take what you get and work with it. That's what I've found. Again, I'm not a teacher. You get different levels and experience of students. Are they freshmen? Are they seniors? What other science have they been taught and so on? So you certainly have to adjust your objectives and your approaches to what the students are that you have. Again, engaging and exciting is really the easy part of it because it's totally made for students to do something different than what they normally do in class. So that's really good. Have a good sense of humor. I mean, that goes a long way. And again, I always look at myself when I talk to their teachers. As a soil professional, when we go into these situations, we don't have any of the baggage that the other teachers have, right? So it's very easy to do this when you're not the teacher of the class. That's what I find. But still, if you can do that, I think you connect with the students more. They connect with you and the material that you're passing on to them as well. There's tons of resources out there. I don't know how many of you have been to the Soil for Youth website that Maya has developed. So you've got Miss Sandy and Clay there, all kinds of lessons and resources on there. At this time, aligned with curriculum outcomes in British Columbia. We're hoping to do some for Ontario. There may be possibilities out there, but all kinds of good stuff. A lot of you will know at soils.org, there's a ton of information and hands-on presentations to work with high school kids. I just got and giveaways is just a killer, right? I mean, everybody's seen the I Heart Soil stuff. I've given out thousands of these. I'm bothering Nathan at the soils office all the time. Can you send me another 100 of these or whatever? And he's like, what the heck are you doing with these things? Well, I'm giving them out. And I noticed this year on the back of this poster, he just sent me, folks seen this one recently? Just sent me this one recently. It's got on the back of it, started out by being part of an Envirothon team. So thinking about a career in soil science. So obviously the SSSA is also, I know the Forest Service is linked in with the Envirothon and they're promoting it here. Just got a couple more here. So just some of the quick things we do, obviously soil texturing, soil coloring is really awesome in terms of having this hands-on stuff, even with a short time. And you can see I just love this one, the expressions on some of the kids' faces, right, when they get captured by their teacher. Am I really doing this type idea, right? And you've got the whole variety. I made up a number of open side augers, push augers. And so it's a great challenge to say to the kids, okay, who can get the longest core here? And these are rocky forest soils, right? So it's difficult. It gets kids jumping on each other's backs trying to pound the thing in. Again, it's making the fun part of it. We do some bulk density exercises after, so bring some portable balances out, teach about a particular soil property in addition to color and texture. And I guess just my own personal experience, just this has really resulted for me in generating a lot of momentum that I never thought would happen, and I have a lot of explaining to my boss to do quite frequently. Envirothon is growing. We're going to be hosting the 2016 Championships of North America in Ontario. But also what I find now, the high school teachers are asking me to come into their class all the time. That's really hard to explain. But even more so, asking me more for resources for soils, right? So they understand, oh, it's that easy, and I have a woodlot out behind my school. I can go out and do that kind of stuff. So that's one thing. And then most recently, a nonprofit conservancy north of where I live, they've just recently hired an environment educator coordinator who I went to and did some time with talking about some of the techniques. And now she's got a program where she's got elementary and high school students coming out with some of this funding from the provincial government to do outdoor ed. She sent me an email yesterday saying she just had a 2-3-year-old nursery school class in the soil pit that we have there on a take me outside day. So I just see it has potential to build everywhere. And so just for the presentation, I'd like to acknowledge all the facilitators of Envirothon, all the teachers that provided me with all the photos for the presentation, and the students that always make things quite interesting. So thanks a lot. Thank you.